Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded. From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc, Zorba Pastor.
That's me.
That's you. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office.
We are, but we are real.
We're real.
We are real.
Zorba,
that's
I'm looking
right.
around. I'm not
that's
seeing
right.
any of
that's
your
real.
Doctor's
that's
tools
right.
or anything.
Right.
I just
yeah.
see a phone. Is
no,
that
no,
all you
under
need
the
right
table.
Now?
I got the hammer.
Okay.
I've got the hammer.
Hopefully
that's
you
right.
don't use the hammer.
That's right.
We'll talk healthy living. We'll walk through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and mm-hmm. emails. And a few of your voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics, Zorba.
Right, the health benefits of humor. You know, we hear, you know, there's so almost the phrase, I go, laughter is the best medicine. But we'll really talk about laughter and the importance of finding joy in your life and basically what that does for your health. And then we're going to talk about sugar intake falling in the UK when they started taxing soft drinks. Mm. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about what happened also in Mexico when they did the same thing.
And what's our special recipe today?
Strawberry balsamic. Now, let me get it correct.
Say it right.
Caprese.
There it is.
Caprese. I'm a sound Italian.
Now it sounds
sure
really
I'm
right.
Sure I do not sound Italian at least. Anyway, strawberry balsamic caprese salad. Good thing to have over the summer, good in the fall, good in the winter. It's a great thing to think about and easy to make.
All right, to the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's welcome a caller now in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Zorba. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure. How can we help you?
So I've had a history of pelvic floor pain that has been, I guess, generally diagnosed as pelvic floor dysfunction. Mm-hmm. It started after I needed a hysterectomy 10 years ago.
10 years ago. You needed a hysterectomy for what reason?
I didn't have cervical cancer, but I had, I guess, what they were calling stage 4 pre-cancer. Mm-hmm. So okay. They needed to take, I do have my ovaries, but they had to take the cervix.
Got it. So you had some abnormalities they worried that were going to become cancer. Okay, so
right,
you had
yes.
your surgery a decade ago, you said, about?
Yes.
What's happened since that time?
So I would say recovery was normal, but as I tried to start doing normal exercise and working out that I had used to do, I just started having these kind of pain flare-ups,
mm-hmm.
Specifically
sure.
kind of on the right side. And after a few doctors, nothing invasive, but just talking to people, they basically said it was probably muscle spasms and a pelvic floor dysfunction. And so I ended up in physical therapy for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And this is, that's kind of a long time. But these are, I assume these were PTs who specialized in that, pelvic floor?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Because there are a group, yeah. a lot of women do not know who have pelvic floor dysfunction, that there are physical therapists who specialize in this. And I think that's really good to get the word out. So thanks for mentioning that. So what's going on now? Why? You're calling for a reason, and
yes.
what is that reason?
Well, the reason specifically is that I am in the middle of a flare-up right now.
Oh.
But
10 years later, you still got a flare-up. Awful.
Yeah. So in the midst of the physical therapy, it turned out I also had a hip issue, like a labral tear. I ended up having a whole hip surgery. Mm-hmm. So that kind of derailed.
That's not fun.
I know. It kind of derailed the you know, what was going on with my pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. And also I kind of thought maybe that was the mm-hmm. hip was related.
Sure.
And that was a very intense recovery.
Yes.
But that's now been 7 years. But I've sort of, with all of this, you know, trauma and surgeries, I've kind of changed my lifestyle and not been able to do what I like to do in order to avoid
In what way? Change your lifestyle in terms of what do you do? What don't you do?
Yeah, that's the better mm-hmm. question is what don't I do? I don't do a lot. I just don't work out the mm-hmm. way like I can't, every time I try to even do small exercise and workout routines, I kind of end up hurting myself and I end up in bed.
Oh, that's terrible. Just
yeah,
awful.
But
just
the
awful.
Other question, because of course I'm one of those people that looks everything up mm-hmm. every time
sure.
I have symptoms. Mm-hmm. So also like a hidden hernia was another possibility, which I actually just looked at recently at my chart and didn't even really remember. But after the hip surgery, I did go back to a doctor and they did an ultrasound where they thought they saw a femoral mm-hmm. hernia. But I know that the whatever surgeon I saw was like, no, I don't think that's causing any pain. But.
So I have some suggestions. So first of all, sorry for all the problems you're going through. 10 years ago, you had a hysterectomy. Following that, you had this chronic pain. Then you had a labral tear, in your hip. You had that confused things in many ways, because pain is really difficult to figure out in the pelvis where it's from. And sometimes it's very difficult. And whether it basically could be there are hernias that cause no pain at all, and there are hernias that cause pain, and could it be adhesions? Adhesions can certainly, cause pain within it. So you kind of need to look back at this, as a workup. So if you were to come to my office, I would say, well, let's do some imaging. And that's what I would do. I would call up radiologists and say, should we do an MRI of the abdomen? Is that what we ought to look at from there? Or should we start with an ultrasound of the abdomen, see whether or not there is a hernia or anything like that? But I want to assume for a minute that there's nothing there. There may not be anything there that we find that we can fix. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. We can't image everything. We don't know how to image everything. But it's a result, obviously, of the surgery. After the surgery, you had problems. Before the surgery, you didn't. Why is that the case? We don't always get an answer. And then the question is, how do you tailor your lifestyle to do things that you want to do? So like 10 years ago, I was in the Himalayas. I was hiking. The highest pass I went over was 18,500 feet. That was after about 3 weeks. And I think to myself, could I do this today now that I'm 77? And the answer is, I don't know. Maybe I couldn't. Maybe I'd have to give that up. I mean, I'm not going back there for a multitude of reasons. But I'm not going to give up exercise, doing stuff, and enjoying myself. So that is the other side of this is, you have to figure out what you can do that doesn't produce pain, that gives you pleasure, that uses your body. Because nothing may show up on any of the imaging mm-hmm. studies. So you have to get the imaging studies from your primary care doc to say, I want to work this up and find out if you know what this is. And if the answer is, we don't know, then you have to talk to maybe the physical therapist who is specialized in pelvic pain and say, what can I do? And then work around your life the way you can do that. Because you've got to do things. It sounds like you were an active person. All of a sudden, you're not as active. Well, you got to be active again in some fashion that doesn't hurt you. Mm-hmm. And for that, you need some professional advice. So you've got to go to the pelvic floor PT and say, what can I do? And then you have to start doing it. You're not going to go back to do the things you did 10 years ago. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
On the other end, I can't go back to the things I did 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And, I just got back from New York and I was talking to a cousin of mine whose kid who said he was 38. And he said, I can't do the things I used to do. I said, you're 38. I would love to be 38 with my 77-year-old butt, right? Wouldn't you? 38 is great.
I would love to be 38.
It's a great age. He wants to be 28. So then I thought to myself, this is ubiquitous. Everyone wants to be a younger age or a different age. The 8-year-old wants to be double digits, and the 12-year-old wants to be 16. Nobody is ever satisfied with their age. Maybe at 21. Hey, I'm 21. I'm happy. I'm 21. But there's a small period of time where you go, I'm the right age to do things. So you got to go back. It's funny. You've got to go back and also find out from the pelvic floor PT what you can do. And you must start to do those exercises that you feel comfortable with while you're working on the imaging. I hope that helps. You need imaging.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks.
You're
bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413.
It is funny. Nobody's ever at the right age.
No, I look at my 9-year-old son and I think, what does it feel like to be him? What does it feel like every day to wake, just jump out of bed?
Yeah,
it's a 9-year-old.
That's right. That's right. But he wants to be 10. He doesn't want to be 9.
That's true.
You know, or he wants to be 12. You know, at 16, you want to be 16. Then you want to be 18.
But he's not thinking, man, I wish I was 4 again. That was amazing.
No, he's not. No, but he's thinking of a different age, yeah. Right? He's not thinking. He's definitely thinking,
I wish I was
18.
I want out of here.
You know, it reverses. Somewhere within there, it reverses. It tends to reverse, certainly at 29.
Yeah.
You go, oh, my God, I'm 30. You know, yep. Oh, I'm 30. What happened to the 20s, right? What happened to the 20s? So we're, getting back to her for 1 second, age-appropriate exercise. Now, mm-hmm. What's age-appropriate? I don't like the word age-appropriate. It's limiting. Well, we are limited. We're always actually limited. We just don't recognize it at 9. Mm-hmm. But we are limited. At 9, you're limited by your parents. I mean, you're limited.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can't do things when you were 16. But we all always have limitations. You want to work and you want to be strong to those limitations, and that's important. Otherwise, you feel encumbered and sad, and you got to move your body in some fashion. And she's had chronic pain for a long time. Mm-hmm. She's got to figure out what she can do, but she needs imaging.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's do our first healthy living topic, Zorba, and I'm going to read a little thing here to intro this. You talk a lot about on the show.
Humor.
Laughter is the best medicine. That's been right. The tagline for how many years? Right. A long time.
I can't even remember.
Yeah. So there's research about what humor does health-wise to our body, but yeah. I looked it up real quick. Uh-huh. I was thinking, what's the oldest joke that we have on record?
Okay.
And it traces back to 1900.
Now, 1900 isn't that long ago. What about the 1890s?
Well, no, 1900 BC.
Oh, my God.
1900 BC.
That's when we did our first show, 1900 BC. That was the inaugural.
See, that made me feel better. That joke made me feel better.
On your health. So 1900
This goes back to BC. This is the Sumerians in 1900 BC.
Sumerians, they're kind of warlike, and they were joking.
They were hilarious. Yeah, the Sumerians were hilarious. Here's the joke. Okay. Something which has never occurred since the time immemorial, a young woman did not fart in her husband's lap. I don't know if I get the joke, but I do love.
You're not Sumerian.
That the oldest joke on record is a fart joke. That's what's pretty cool about this whole thing. That's my takeaway from this.
So the Sumerians were just fourth graders, you know, growing up.
That's the
oldest recorded joke.
Well, anyways, there's research on this.
For the historians on this, I think that's very, very important.
Yeah.
And if anyone can come up with a joke before 1900 BC, please go to our website, ZorbaPastor.org, ZorbaPastor.org, and any joke that we think is airable on public radio,
it's got to be airable.
We will go through. We're looking for people to search for jokes older than 1900 BC. We'd accept 1500 BC.
Okay,
also.
Fine. That's fine. There's a lot of health benefits of humor. This has been studied, right?
Well, it is. Don't you feel better when you laugh?
I feel great now that we laughed about an old fart joke.
It's very interesting. So I'm very much into, I happen to like quotes. Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was one of the great thinkers of the 1800s, had his definition of success, which I often repeat, but it begins with to laugh often. That's the beginning of his definition of success. So in other words, he's talking about what you should do to be a successful person. But he talks about to laugh often, to have sung with exultation, and to dance. So we think about dancing, laughing, singing. It's really important. And laughter, we say it's the best medicine. It sounds kind of trite because, frankly, it is trite. But the reality is it's really important. And there was recently an article that sort of came out of the Mayo Clinic. And there was a doctor there discussing how she was an introvert, and she ended up going to a yoga class where they were doing laugh yoga.
Well,
were doing yoga and laugh, and she was kind of cringing because she was looking to be yoga and quiet,
right?
Which is different from yoga and laugh. But there is some very good evidence that laughing decreases cortisol levels. We know high cortisol levels are not good for the heart, not good for the brain, increase the risk of stroke when you have high adrenaline levels. Anything to pull that down really makes a difference. And a few years ago, I read a whole book about laughter, and these were jokes in the concentration camps in Germany. And it was a whole book about how they're in the middle of these egregious areas in the concentration center. And they were writing down jokes. Hmm. Now, they were not having a good time, but somehow laughter and saying jokes in the middle of these terrible, situations You're really helpful. So, do you like to joke?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. Can you come up? You can usually come up with something right away. Come on. Come on.
You put me on the spot, and now I got nothing.
You've got nothing. Yeah, you've got nothing. You can't joke about this bottle of water or that. Look at that bottle. Come on. There's something.
Okay,
that
fine. Okay. I'm looking at what you're wearing right now.
Yeah, and?
It's
and,
not
and,
a joke right. what you're wearing, yes. but so Zorba's wearing a tie-dye t-shirt, uh-huh. and then over the tie-dye t-shirt, he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So I'm thinking, did this guy go straight from a Grateful Dead show to a Jimmy Buffett show? Like he just quickly put
That's
on
it.
The Hawaiian shirt?
You got it. They got it. Grateful Dead to Jimmy Buffett. You see, you heard, you actually listened to what I was listening this morning from the Grateful
you
Dead.
You were listening to the Dead this morning?
Not at all.
Oh,
I was
okay.
joking with you.
No, you're joking with me. Okay. And now we feel better.
See, we feel better. But it really is important. And that's why sometimes you just have to go to comedy shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know,
I feel great
there.
Walking out of a comedy
I mean, periodically,
show.
When I'm stressed out, I'll pull up Modern Family on Hulu because it's so dumb and so silly and so out of it. Have you ever watched Modern
sure,
Family?
Not a lot, but that's one I've been meaning to watch.
They're like
I've
10
seen
years.
A little bit, yeah.
It's like 10 years, and they're 20-minute pieces, and sometimes I'm stressed out. Modern Family mm-hmm. will help me get to the other side. And yes, laughter is still the best medicine.
800-462-74.
Along with anticoagulants if you need it, and Lipitor. Let's not forget about blood pressure pills. And if you've got an infection, don't forget to take your antibiotics. So it is the best medicine. In addition to other things, I just had to put this out because I'm making you laugh.
You sound like the guy at the end of the pharmaceutical commercials that reads really fast all the disclaimers.
1-800-462-7413.
That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's hear a voicemail now. This is a listener from Knoxville, Tennessee.
My question for the doctor has to do with high protein nutritional drinks, things like Ensure. And I'm wondering if he would comment on their nutritional and health benefits. I've heard that other folks are engaged in research on making products like this that they think are somehow better. And so I'm just wondering what that would mean. Thanks a lot. Bye.
You know, there are a lot of products out there. Mm-hmm. So Glycerna is one of them. One of them that the nutritionist at the hospital recommended to my wife, for instance, after surgery, because she had a protein malnutrition, but she needed to have increased protein, and that didn't seem to up the glucose levels as some of the others. So there's Boost, there's Glycerna. There are also drinks that you can buy, you know, at a lot of retailers like Costco and Walmart and Target, you know, that have 10, 20, 30 grams of protein. I think especially as you get older, we don't get enough protein. I think that's kind of an issue. And I think, older people that are feeble, you tend to get more feeble because you often don't eat as well when you're older. Your sense of taste, you know, just like your other just like your eyes and your ears, sense of touch, they decrease as you get older. And because of that, you like things that are sugar, salt. Ice cream is really big because you can taste that, and often people don't eat as well. So I think protein drinks are great. Mm. I think it's an easy way to get. Some of them have 10, some have 20. I looked at one the other day that has 30 grams of protein for like 150 calories. So in other words, they're protein dense often with vitamins. And so the answer is yes. And I think especially it's important as you get older, especially since the data on vitamins is less and less that they're useful. But the issue is protein, not getting enough protein, seems to be more important than ever. So, yeah, I think they're good to drink.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before the break, Zorba, let's check in again with your favorite backseat drivers.
Who are they?
The Grammar Police.
You know, sometimes when I think of the Grammar Police, I think of my nails on a chalkboard.
Do you
just pulling that down?
Do you think of them often?
Just
all in
the
your
time,
free time,
all the
you
time.
Just think about
all the time. I have nightmares, Grammar Police nightmares. You know, in the middle of a dream, it's a really good dream. All of a sudden, somebody will come up and say, "You're not using that comma correctly." Right in the middle of the dream. It's terrible.
Well, you'll like this one. This is actually from the Pronunciation Police.
Oh, great.
Another,
one of your favorites. They're pretty close to my favorite.
All right, Mary in Nyack, New York, and mm-hmm. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, sent us the following message. Dear Dr. Zorba, I enjoy listening to your show in the car on my return from my daily 20-lap swim.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Pretty good.
Nice.
Is that a humble brag, maybe, from Mary?
I don't know how humble it is, but you can brag. It's okay to brag. You can brag.
All right, Mary
says, you're
allowed
to brag about,
it's okay.
about good
job,
health.
Mary.
That's right.
That's a lot of laps.
Right.
My concern is your pronunciation of the word puree. It is a French word used in cooking to describe a method of mashing solid foods. Mm-hmm. It's pronounced puree, as in hooray. Uh-huh. So I said it wrong. Uh-huh. To be frank, my ears burn when I hear the mispronunciation. Please try to remember. Yeah. Hooray for puree. As an aside, puree is the word for mashed potatoes in French. Carry on and bon appetit. Hooray for puree. That's how I'm going to remember
hooray
it.
Hooray for mashed potatoes?
Yeah.
Well, there's a problem.
Oh, what's that?
I'm not French.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I'll tell you something. In Oregon, Wisconsin, just out of Madison, we don't pronounce a lot of things correctly.
Not even
we,
the town.
Well, we don't even, not even, that's right.
It's Oregon.
Not even
not
the town.
Oregon.
See, you got it. You got it. That's right.
Is correcting Zorba's pronunciation a noble cause, or is it purely an academic flex? Let us know by posting on our Facebook page or by sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
That was a stretch.
Awful.
That's a stretch. All right, we have a strawberry balsamic caprese salad.
Oh, you got it.
That's coming up.
That's
along
it.
With more of your calls, more
you
emails.
Got it.
And I did. I nailed that
you
one.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yep.
Totally.
I had some practice. More of your voicemails as well, right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. And the doctor is right across from me, and he's wearing, like I said, he looks like he just got, he went from a Grateful Dead show quickly to a Jimmy Buffett show.
You know, I am a fashionista.
He's ready.
That's right.
And he's ready for a recipe.
My wife, Penny, if she were around, would look at me and say, you're not wearing that. That's what she
I think it
say.
Looks fantastic. I love it.
It's happy.
It is. It's very happy. And this recipe, strawberry balsamic caprese salad.
That's right. And you said it correctly.
Thank you.
I love strawberries. I just love them. I love them all the time. It used to be you could only get them really well in the Midwest during strawberry season. Now you can get strawberries really pretty much through the year. I mean, they're better during season, but they're great. So if you like strawberries and you like different ways of using it, this is a great, it's a simple ingredient salad. Let's talk about what's in the salad. 3 cups of strawberries sliced.
3 cups strawberries sliced.
Do you buy strawberries all the time for your home?
A lot. We go through a lot of strawberries.
So I've looked at the berry consumption. God, I read just these odd things in the U.S. over the last five or seven years, and it's increased 40%.
Oh, I believe it.
Because, among other things, we are getting berries to the grocery store, and even though they're expensive, some of them are much more expensive than others, we like them, and strawberries and things are on sale, and they used to only be strawberry season.
I wonder if smoothie intake has had anything to do with that as well.
Probably.
People are drinking more smoothies.
Yeah, probably. So 1 cup of mozzarella, I can never pronounce it.
It's ciliegine.
Oh, you did that really well. You did that. I'll do it a little more with a little
ciliegine.
See, it's just a chili. So this is the mozzarella. These are not the little balls.
These are like the cherry-sized balls is what I understand.
There.
Yeah, they're like the cherry-sized.
You could probably use any mozzarella.
Yes, any fresh mozzarella.
You know, and it used to be it was hard to get mozzarella, but I mean, now it's pretty much, it's in a lot of different grocery stores.
So all right, a cup of that.
That's right. 1/3 cup of fresh basil chopped.
All right, 1/3 cup fresh basil
you
chopped.
You can only use fresh basil in this. You can't use
that's easy to grow.
Yeah,
grow some basil, people.
Grow some basil, people. That's right. Grow some basil, people. Sounds like a tongue twister.
I don't know what that is.
And 8 to 12 large fresh mint leaves sliced.
All right, 8 to 12 large mint leaves
sliced. Once again, you used to never be able to get these things except in season, but you can often buy things like mint in the grocery store.
That's easy to grow too, right?
Mint? Oh, easy.
Herb garden?
I've got part of it just kind of over you know, the mint growing in the front of my house.
It's like every a weed. It just grows.
It's just a weed. And when I go through, you know, I think of the Brazilian drink that's slipping my mind.
Oh, yeah, Capa. Is it the Cap?
Capoeira? Capoeira. That's a dance.
That's the martial arts dance. Yeah. Mojito. Is that what you're
thinking
of?
Mojito. Thank you. Well, you got it. Yeah. You got it. See?
Nothing like Cap.
That's it. 3 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar.
Yeah, this is for the vinaigrette now. Right. 3 big tea balsamic vinegar.
1 big tea extra virgin olive oil.
1 big tea extra virgin olive oil.
Teaspoon of honey.
Teaspoon of honey.
Salt and pepper to your taste.
Of course. Let's make this
in
easy to
make
salad.
In a small bowl, whisk together the balsamic vinegar, extra virgin olive oil, honey, salt, and pepper. In a mixing bowl, combine the sliced strawberries, mozzarella halves, chopped basil, drizzle the prepared vinaigrette over the mixture, gently toss, and then garnish with the sliced mint.
This is an easy, quick recipe.
Easy, peasy,
but
wonderful.
Big taste.
Big taste, easy. And if you want a copy of this, go to ZorbaPastor.org. That's Zorba. Pastor.org. And don't forget, I do paste on Facebook intermittently.
You paste back and forth on Facebook.
I go back and forth, and sometimes I pasted when I went to the Mallards game the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And 35,000 people looked at it. A number of them commented. These are the Mallards.
The Madison. This is our Northwoods minor league baseball team in Madison.
Northwoods
minor? It's the Northwoods League. Yeah, it's really fun. Those games are great.
Yeah, it's fun because these are college guys. And before that, I didn't see the women play. They're the
Nightmares. That's our new softball team.
It's a women's softball team. The
in
Nightmares.
Madison,
if you're in Madison,
really want
go to
one
Mallards,
of those games.
Go to the Nightmares.
Yeah.
Have a good time. And if you're not in Madison, what you should do is come here in the wintertime.
Okay.
We do. But we have great wintertime. When the lakes freeze over, you know,
go walk on the lakes.
People don't come here in the wintertime. I'll tell you, easy to get a hotel room in January.
Sure.
That's when you come.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's try to help out a caller in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just calling today to get a little information from Zorba on ADHD.
Sure.
I have been diagnosed with ADHD since I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
I took Adderall from about 16 to 21, but recently I stopped taking it. I'm 25 now, and I'm working an office job, and I've had a little bit of trouble keeping up with the work, and I don't necessarily want to go back on Adderall due to the side effects that I had. But I'm just looking for a little bit of information on what I can do going forward to maybe, like, manage my ADHD a little bit better.
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, I want to talk about the Adderall, for instance. That's one of several drugs that are used for ADHD. And if that drug, there may be other drugs in a smaller dose that may be helpful to you. So before we look at the non-pharmacological things to do, you know, so there are other things that can be useful. There, Ritalin is one of the drugs, which is, all of a sudden I'm blocking on the generic name of it. But anyway, Ritalin is one of the drugs. Vyvanse is another drug. So there's several other drugs within this class that do not have the same side effects. They all have little kind of, side effect profiles. But let's look also at the non-pharmacological, you know, ways of dealing with some of them. So, first of all, do you exercise?
Yeah, daily.
Okay, do daily exercise. How much sleep do you get?
On a good night, 8 hours, but some nights just about 6.
Okay, so the reality is sleep is very important. We know it's really important. So, and you don't have to be sleeping, but being in bed for those 7 to 8 hours, whatever the natural curve is for you, some people are 7, some people 8, some people 9, and standardizing when you go to sleep as much as you can, like, hey, I'm going to sleep at 10 o'clock every evening, and I do that every evening except on the weekends when I don't, is going to help adjust some of the cortisol levels in your body. They may be very useful. That's another thing you can do once again, because the sleep-wake cycle is very important for all of us, but it's really important for people with ADHD. Next question.
Okay.
Do you get depressed?
Yes, I have gone through seasonal depression at times.
Okay.
Once every few years. It kind of depends on what's going on in my life, and my anxiety levels really correlate to that.
Oh, sure. So there is an antidepressant, bupropion, which can be very, very useful for people with ADHD. Can be useful, can help them concentrate. There are other antidepressants that are out there, but bupropion is the one, and it's a generic, that has been the most useful for ADHD. And you may find, gee, if I get depressed on and off, I may just want to try bupropion in a small dose of 150 milligrams a day, or the regular dose of 300 milligrams a day, or even up to 450, and see whether or not that helps you, because it may be anxiety and depression can often commingle with ADHD for a whole bunch of reasons, as you can imagine, because you can't concentrate. So regular exercise, regular sleep pattern, other ADHD meds you may think about, or an antidepressant, specifically bupropion. I kind of look at all those and see what you can, you know, can manipulate. And then, of course, giving yourself enough time on the job and when you're actually there. What kind of work do you do?
I'm an office manager.
Uh-huh. So you're managing other people, or are you doing mostly numbers? What does that consist of?
It's running payroll, invoices, emails, mm-hmm. all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm the only person in the office, and we're a small business, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I kind of take on quite a uh-huh. bit of different stuff. Uh-huh.
You drink coffee in the morning?
I do drink coffee, yeah. Uh-huh. Ever since I stopped taking Adderall, yeah. that's kind of been my mm-hmm. stimulant that I go to sure. to help me.
And drinking coffee is really good. It's the most common drug we use in the world, coffee. You know, caffeine is the most common drug. So I would manipulate all of these things. The other thing is, you periodically, if you have ADHD, you've got to figure out when to take your breaks. And I would do it by the clock. So it might be, I got to take a break once an hour for 5 minutes, clear my head, do something else, got to get up and move around. So you've got to physically actually take your breaks and figure out whether or not you're going to do 10 minutes or 5 minutes of yoga once or twice during the daytime to get your brain into a different spot. That's something else you can manipulate to get your body, okay. get your brain back on task. So I hope all of okay. these will help you. And I love Oklahoma City. What's the area? Because I've been there a few times. Downtown, where you have, there are like canoe races or others. I'm trying to think of what's in the middle of Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah. We got the huge Devon Tower. We got the Myriad Botanical Gardens. And, yeah, we've got the little river right there. It's man-made, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
But they use
right,
it
right,
for
right.
Olympic training.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah, you've got some beautiful stuff there. I've been there numerous times. What I really like is the barbecue and the steak
oh, yeah.
place. The steak oh, place yeah. I went to, I can't remember. Remember the name of it. It's not right in the tip of my mind. Where you get the cattlemen?
The
cattlemen's.
There it is.
Yeah, the cattlemen's. You know something? It's worth flying to Oklahoma City to go to the cattlemen's.
yep.
Anyway, hope that helps. Hope that helps with everything.
Okay, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. You take care now.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. You can leave us a voicemail anytime. Let's go to a voicemail. This is a listener in Sevierville, Tennessee.
Zorba's a big proponent of the Mediterranean diet. And recently, well, actually for quite a little bit, I've been into the whole macro dieting ideal. And it brings to mind if these whole thematic diets are still necessary, because we understand now that a gram of carbohydrates may contain more simple carbohydrates versus complex carbohydrates. Obviously, we want to aim for more complex carbohydrates, and a gram of fat might contain more unsaturated versus saturated fats. But with that being said, we can just eliminate one thing for a healthier option and just go from there. Do we really need these, like, Atkins or Mediterranean or these whole themed diets anymore? Mm-hmm.
Those are good questions. Yeah, very good questions.
I think I know what you're going to say.
So what am I going to say?
You're going to. This is a new segment. Predict what the doc's going to say. You're going to talk about the Mediterranean diet and how it's the king and queen of all diets.
Well, it is. Yeah. It is. But, you know, talking about thematic diets, right. It's kind of an interesting thought. I never thought of it as a thematic diet.
Right.
So you have the Atkins diet, then you've got the paleo diet, and you've mm-hmm. got this diet and that diet. And they change throughout. And if you look back to around the 1850s, 1860s in the UK, there was the mutton and bacon diet.
Oh, that was huge, right?
It was huge among the wealthy, because the wealthy, those are the only ones who were able to get enough calories to become obese and fat.
Right.
And so then they didn't like being fat, but if you were thin, it was a sign of poverty.
Sure.
If you were fat, sign of wealth, and they had to get rid of it, and they had a mutton, you know, mutton bacon diet. Mutton and bacon. That's what
you
would
eat. Is that going to come back? Everything comes
mutton.
Back around. Should
well,
we bring
we
that one back?
Well, we don't eat much mutton. Mutton is not, mutton is not there. And if you ever had mutton that's not in a curry, it's not something that would happen. But let's get back to the thematic. He's absolutely right about the thematic diet. That's mm-hmm. exactly it. What you really do is, if you look at the Mediterranean diet, just the king of diets because it's got good stuff, he brings up a very important point. Simple carbohydrates like sugar mm-hmm. are bad for you. Complex carbohydrates such as whole grains and whole wheat are good for you. And just looking at those, you don't need to go from one thing to another. However, people like themes. They like it.
Right.
They don't want to have lists. They're not interested in lists. They're interested in themes. They want a good story. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a good story then moves them to do things. So if you look at the blue, the Blue Zone areas. And I have a cookbook that somebody sent me called The Blue Zone Diet. And I looked at it, I thought it was kind of great. It was interesting. There were recipes from that. So whatever gets you to eat better is helpful. And what you really want to know is you want to know what to eat. And that's what we talk about on this show.
That's good advice. I like that.
Thanks.
Thank you. Have a question for the good doc?
Call. Yeah, I like the way you said that's good advice. You know, it was very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know, your thoughtfulness comes through.
Does it really?
Yeah, it does.
That's good.
Does.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can tell that's genuine. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Call us anytime with a question, or what else could you do? You could email us at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. We have more of your calls coming up, more emails and voicemails, and another healthy living topic to discuss. So keep it right here on Zorba Pastor,
on your health.
Carl Christensen in Buck Studio in Madison, Wisconsin. This is Zorba Pastor on Your Health, and I'm sitting across the desk from Dr. Zorba Pastor. He's looking pretty dapper over there with his tie-dye Hawaiian shirt combo.
Dapper.
He's looking really good.
I'm dapper.
Very dapper. And the number to call anytime if you have a healthy living question is 800-462-7413. But before we get back to those calls, Zorba, let's do a healthy living topic. Let's talk about sugar tax. This happened in the UK. What happens when you do a sugar tax?
Well, it happened in the UK, and it happened also in Mexico, which is quite interesting. So in the UK, what they decided to do was add an extra tax to soft drinks. Not a lot. I don't know how much it was, you know, because it's in UK pounds, but it was 25 cents or something. It wasn't a huge amount, but it was enough. So when they started taxing soft drinks, they started seeing a reduction in how much people were eating. In other words, make it more expensive. People eat, drink less. So daily sugar intake fell by 5 grams per day in kids and 11 grams per day in adults.
That's
and
pretty significant.
It's significant. Once you find a drop in sugar, especially simple sugar intake, it will make a difference. And these are researchers that looked at it. They looked at the tax and so on. So how big, I don't know, how big are the drinks like in our typical convenience stores in Wisconsin? You can get the big drinks. I think they're like 64 ounces.
Oh, some of them are huge. Remember the 7-Eleven, the Big Gulp was kind of the first of those giant drinks? I feel like a Big Gulp now is not
big. Or 128.
Yeah,
well, if it's 64 ounces, it's 64 teaspoons of sugar, which is roughly 1,000 calories, roughly 1,000 calories.
Right, just liquid calories.
So it's 64, that's just liquid calories. It's 10. Yeah, it's roughly 1,000 calories.
Right.
So they're liquid calories. Once you make it more expensive, people stop drinking less. It says a lot to us that we're price sensitive to certain things. When we started upping the taxes on cigarettes, we started seeing the reduction. Because, you know, you go, well, is this drink going to cost me a buck or is it going to cost me $1.25? That alone can make a difference. Now, I don't think there's much of a move to begin in this country to tax drinks. I mean, there really is not a movement. But I think it's something that makes some sense, and maybe we want to look at it from a public health point of view. Do we want to put a sugar tax on those drinks? I've never heard of a discussion of that in any of the states, but I don't know what's going on. Anyway, main thing is we've got to drink less soft drinks. That's the bottom line. And if it costs more money, we end up drinking less, and maybe we should do this in the United States of America. And as soon as we start to do this, like put a federal tax on sugar drinks in order to pay off the budget deficit in our society, please let me know. We do not discuss
politics. This is not a political show, no.
On this show, but I think that extra 5 cents for the Coke will finally put a dent in there. Nonetheless, it's what they did in the UK, and maybe one day we'll do it in the US.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go back to the phones now. Let's try to help out a caller in Spokane, Washington. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
How can we help you?
I'm calling you because I have this eye rat retinopathy.
Oh, sure. Retinopathy. Uh-huh.
And I had it for years. Mm-hmm. I go to the, I'm a veteran, I go to the VA, and then they send me to an outside specialist.
Mm-hmm. For this. Uh-huh. A retinopathy specialist. Uh-huh.
Right. And then they, since then, they've been giving me shots in the eye.
Shots in the eye. Okay. So first of all, is this from diabetes or do you have macular degeneration?
It's from diabetes.
How long have you had diabetes?
Since the year 2000.
When did you start to develop the retinopathy, the diabetic retinopathy?
You know, that's the thing. I really wasn't sure. When I joined the VA, they ran all the tests, the possible candidates. They did eye tests. And it wasn't until like my third time having my eyes checked that the doctor there said, you know, there's something else going on in your eye. You need to go to a specialist.
Got it. Okay. So at that time, they saw something abnormal when they looked in the back of the eye and said, you've got to go to a specialist. And then you've been getting injections. Everyone always, you know, injection into the eye, all of a sudden, it's uncomfortable. I mean, it's, but most people tolerate it. How are you doing with the injections itself?
I don't think they were helping me see better. My vision's been getting worse, and then I was going to a clinic outside of Spokane in Idaho, and that's all they do when you go in there. They just give you shots in your eyes. I call it the Three Stooges clinic.
The Three Stooges clinic?
Yes, because when you leave, you feel like somebody poking in the eye.
You know something? You just showed humor is the best medicine because you bought the Three Stooges clinic and poked you in the eye.
They poke you in the eye. But ever since... this year, the doctor said, you need cataracts. You need to have the cataract done.
Okay.
So he did my right eye, but instead it didn't. Usually the cataracts, they use the laser to take the lens off, and he did it manually. He didn't do it with laser, and it caused more problems in my eye. I don't see well with my eye. I have like a ink spot. In the middle of my vision is a light grayish spot. Everything else around it is fuzzy.
Oh, that's difficult.
Saying, oh, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It didn't, so I went and I got a second opinion.
Good.
Which you're recommending the show.
Right.
And the second opinion guy showed me a picture of my retina, and then at the very end, the very end is lifted. So he said, that's why you don't have good vision.
Right,
but
right.
The thing is, I didn't have this before they did the...
the cataract.
The cataract. So I'm thinking he didn't do it well because, and I have floaters. All the pieces of the cataract that he couldn't take out were floating inside my eye. And I even saw Sasquatch walking.
Right.
They were floating around and it looked like a little Sasquatch walking. And I went through all of that. He said that your eye would absorb this, and it did, but I still don't have good vision. And now I'm working with going to a clinic here, and what they do here, all the ophthalmologists are in some kind of a group.
Right.
They don't work on, they don't have their own office, which I would feel a lot better if that was the case. But during COVID, they line up everybody. It was a clinic here in town, and it was two shots next.
Oh, when they were doing the injections. Got you.
And I see that. They just two shots, and the people, everybody getting shot in each eye. And it seemed like, it's a moneymaker for them, but I don't see anything getting better with my eye.
I have a couple of suggestions here. So because retinopathy, which means, you know, what happens is light comes in, it shines on the retina. The retina is sort of, you know, is the background from which we see. If you have macular degeneration, hard to see because the macula is the part of the eye that we use mostly for any fine work, any vision, any recognition. That can produce problems. If it's elevated, you can't see as well. Cataract removal can have complications because every surgery has complications. So question number one, what insurance do you have? Can you go anywhere?
They have to take veterans.
So you have TRICARE or any one of the veterans?
I also have Medicare.
And you have Medicare. Okay. So really what you want to do is you want to get a second opinion outside your area. So first of all, it sounds like they line people up to give the injections. The question is, are the injections worthwhile or not? So some of these injections do a really good thing, but obviously, you know, being lined up and not having it done on a personal basis, you bring up a really good point. You know, you sound like you're, you know, it's a cattle car. And it's like next.
Yep.
If that happened to me, I would want to go to a different ophthalmologist. On the other hand, I don't know what your limitations are with insurance or where you are. But if you can go to other places, this is where I recommend going to a tertiary center. So either a university eye clinic or Mayo Clinic or something of that nature where you will have to travel, obviously, and get a second opinion of what's going on in your eye and what can be done. You know, it sounds like there may have been complications from the cataract, or it may have been that they just showed up other things that were going on in your eye, but you've got to have somebody else look at your eye. And I would go somewhere away from where you are. So you got to find out from your insurance that'll cover it. That's what I would do.
In 100 miles or 200 miles, there's nothing like that near here.
Right. Well, that's the problem. I mean, it's a problem because you live, like you say, you know, it's more than 200 miles away. But you, on the other hand, you want to know what's going on, and you want to go to a group of a different ophthalmologist who may give you another opinion. And that's the challenge. I don't have a good answer to that. You did get a second opinion, though, you know, when you said you went outside of the VA. Are there other ophthalmologists you can go to?
Not that they work on their own. The biggest one is a big eye clinic that's all over Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
And they have many offices and they have many people in there. And the doctor, I picked a doctor there, and he's supposed to be a specialist in this kind of...
Right, and Spokane has very good medical care. They have excellent medical care in Spokane. They have some good. So you might just go to a different ophthalmologist that's associated, you know, in Spokane. I mean, it's a good-sized city with very, very good medical care. So you could stay within it, but I would go outside to a different group like you did before. And certainly if you don't like the way they're giving injections, you want to go to a different place where you're treated in a more personalized way.
Thank you for answering my questions.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks a lot.
I love you,
too. Thanks so much. Thanks. You take care now.
Bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go to a voicemail now. Let's help out a listener in Madison, Wisconsin.
I am calling to find out about carbonated beverages, specifically wondering about the Celsius product. I see that sucralose is the sweetener in that. There is caffeine in it. I think there's quite a bit of caffeine. Just wondering your take on all of those carbonated, caffeinated beverages.
Well, first of all, you don't have to drink soft drinks. I mean, we drink them because they like them. If they have sucralose, I mean, sucralose, you know, is a sugar substitute. I mean, that's what it is. And we use it because Splenda was the first one. It was made by Johnson & Johnson initially. Now it's a generic. And so these are in to make it sweet. As far as salt, they didn't use a lot of salt. You know, they sometimes put just a tad of salt in there. But that's what makes it a sugar-free drink. But if you look at that particular drink, and I happen to have that drink here.
Because I was drinking one.
He was drinking it. And let me read you what's in the label. Carbonated filtered water. I love it. Carbonated filtered water. They put in a filter. Citric acid. Taurine. I can hardly read it. Garum dum seed. Extract. Tea extract. Caffeine. Calcium carbonate. Ascorbic acid. I'm going to. Sucralose. I want to say guanethidine, but that's not what it is. I can't read it. Ginger root extract.
There's a lot of ingredients.
There's all the ingredients in your drink. Have you ever read this?
Not I haven't. I think listeners are nodding off right now.
You
they might need that drink.
You know something? 24 different things in this drink. That's a guess.
That's a lot.
Water. Try water.
Okay.
Water. It has one ingredient.
Next show, I'll just do water. What do you think about energy drinks and like kids and teens? Because I think she's
also
asking.
Well, kids and teens, it's not a good idea.
Okay.
Because kids and teens, we don't know what it does to the developing brain. So we really want to keep them away except for a modest amount of caffeine.
Okay.
I mean, you get some caffeine in Coca-Cola. It's got some caffeine. But energy drinks are super charged with caffeine.
Right.
And kids do not need that. Generally, they're supercharged as it is. And if they're not energetic, it's often because they're not getting enough sleep. They need 10 hours of sleep a night. A lot of kids don't get that.
Gotcha. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we head out today, Zorba, let's try something new. You like that when we try something new?
I love it.
Okay.
Sure.
As you know, since the legendary co-host Tom Clark retired, I'm here attempting to fill his Birkenstocks, which I don't know. I feel like I'm doing a satisfactory job, but sometimes it's nice to get a confidence boost.
More than satisfactory.
No, I'm doing fine. It's nice to get some positive feedback. So, of course, I've carved out a little moment here for some self-puffery for myself. Is that okay?
Of course.
We're calling this one Carl's Corner.
Carl's Corner. Carl's Corner. Carl's Corner. This will boost his confidence.
This is going to boost my confidence. Like, you can barely understand what's happening there.
I kind of like it.
It was a little, okay. It's a little dark, but all right. First up, let's hear from a listener in Wisconsin.
Good morning. I don't have a question, but I'm just delighted by the new host. It may not be new. I don't get to listen all the time, but what a delightful morning I've had with the two of them. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that was nice.
Great.
Thank you, Wisconsin
listener.
I love it. That's great.
I'm just
puffing myself up here, Carl's Corner. Finally, it's really nice and warm in Carl's Corner. Let's hear from a listener in Tennessee.
I am so tired of Dr. Zorba interrupting everybody, especially Carl. I like his show, but it's very hard to listen to because he keeps interrupting. It's rude. Thank you. Bye.
So she's now reducing my confidence and lifting your confidence.
She's going to bat for me.
That's
I love
going
that.
To bat
Thank
for
you, Tennessee listener.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome. Yeah, Zorba, quit
That's
interrupting
right.
me.
That's
Jeez.
Right. You're right.
All right. Do you want to send my ego into the radio hosting stratosphere? Feel free to leave us a voicemail, or you can always send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. Should we do this again next week, Zorba?
Yes, absolutely.
Please, please. If you missed anything during the show, or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org and, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call
anytime.
Us
anytime.
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 See, you're interrupting me. Anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen. Our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next
Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
From WPR.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.